College application process.
Funny thing about all this is that I'm the general manager of the radio station at the University of Michigan, WCBN 88.3 FM. Josh is my assistant general manager, and this whole panel is basically going to be material for him to use in carts, which are the announcements that we use on the radio. So,
where are we live? We can swear.
So this is all the more fun for him.
Can we swear?
Honestly, if you have any friends that are looking for NFF, like to like moderating panel while he's extraordinarily drunk, get them now. This panel is going to be comedy gold. All right, no, it's Rick.
Fuck you,
Simon. Simon, I am so drunk, I think I'm going to start telling people all the stuff you did at Rubicon 2. Do you remember that time when you were... Okay, at Rubicon 2, we were at the Wyndham Gardens. No, and this is actually a true story.
Claritin, actually. They changed their name.
No, hold on. Yeah, I was going to get to that. The day that Rubicon 2 started, the Wyndham Gardens and Romulus changed their name to the Comfort Inn or some other...
The Clarion Inn.
They changed their name to the Clarion Inn. Half of the attendees that were supposed to be at Rubicon 2 were wandering around Romulus for hours at a time trying to find the Wyndham Gardens. But, of course, the day of Rubicon, they had to change their name to the Clarion Inn. You know, this... And so, anyway, there's this main hallway in the Clarion Inn now in Romulus where basically everybody has to walk through to get to their rooms. You know, you walk from the front desk through this hallway and then to the left and through that. And in this hallway was the panel for the PBX of the entire hotel. Guess who decided to open the panel for the entire PBX of the hotel in the main hallway that all of the guests had to walk through?
In the middle of the daylight.
To get to their room. Yeah, in daylight. This is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, fucking beige boxing on the PBX of the entire hotel. Who was doing that? Mr. Simon, our distinguished panel guest. Give him a round of applause, please. Thank you very much. Yeah. Son, you're the dumbest motherfucker I ever knew. And trust me, I work at the University of Michigan, all right? I know some pretty dumbass motherfuckers, all right? 40,000 students and like 15,000 employees, you know, like that? 90% of them are dumb as fuck, all right? But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Have we found theme yet?
You're in charge. This is your panel.
You see, the weird thing was that I was supposed to be preparing for my game show, and now I've left my coworker preparing for my game show. So, honestly, if we have to go... Okay, this is the other dumb thing. Jim left all of the questions for the game show on the Rubicon website. How dumb is that?
I know all the questions, actually. Jim, and the answers. They're written down and printed out. If you want me to distribute them, it's...
Simon, would you just shut up? Honestly, man. Good God. Okay, is anyone taping this in any form except for Josh? Okay, thank God.
Anything that has to do with DEF CON, the answer is Dark Cube.
Wait, what about the OpenBSD stripper incident involving XDR?
That is not on the questions anymore.
That's not on the questions. No, Mr. Chris Tuzik, my distinguished friend from WCBN, he was the music director. He was a king among men. He's back there in the blue WCBN hooded sweatshirt right now. Everybody give him a round of applause, please. He is my best friend throughout my many tortured years at WCBN, which have not yet come to an end. And guess what he's doing now? He's a JSP developer for DAO. Chris, honestly, has anyone gotten me my second Bacardi and Coke? Good grief. Okay, anyway, we have not found theme yet. We have not found Richard theme. We're supposed to be here at this panel right now. Josh, where are you going? Oh, okay. Oh, anyway, as I was saying earlier, Josh is my assistant general manager at the radio station. He basically does the job that I'm supposed to be doing. I also hired him to do sound for Rubicon. Anyway. Yes, Nate.
If Keem doesn't show, can we get John Katz in?
No. No. No, I'm sorry. Say that again? Yeah, Richard Thiem was supposed to be on this panel. Yeah. Varying degrees of insecurity. Say that again? Do you know what his room number is?
What's NFF's room
number? Simon, do you still have a radio?
No, you have mine.
NFF's in 1631.
Tell me this has Lamone in it.
No, he's not, actually. He's on the 17th floor. Then it's 1723.
It doesn't have enough Lamone in it. But anyway, thank you very much.
Hey,
I appreciate the effort.
1723.
Now, 1723.
Do you have it down here?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, we're disavowing knowledge of any alcohol in this room.
Yeah.
I take it that nobody has any alcohol in that room, that the substance that's in that Corona Extra bottle is apple juice, correct?
Exactly.
The only thing that are in these two beverage containers right here is 100% pure Coca-Cola. I guarantee you of this. Anyway, if any of you wants to see the first drunken panel in the history of Rubicon, bring your friends in here right now, because we're about to get started in about 5 minutes. Josh, are you recording this?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be blackmail, pure blackmail. Anyway, the topic of this panel... Okay, this panel is officially 50 minutes late, which means that Win NFF's T-shirts is going to start around like 10 to 2 and go into 3 o'clock. But anyway, the panelists, you're all ready?
Huh?
Are you all ready?
We're having a little discussion over here. We're talking.
Rick, please tell me that you're at least half as drunk as I am.
I'm getting there.
Okay, you're getting there. I think he's... Could you pass that down to him? He's going to have to finish that.
I got mine over here. This is 151.
That's 151? 151 in what? In what concentration?
151.
If I lit that on fire, would it burn?
Better it than me.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we were trying to find Everclear in Canada, and we just couldn't. Nate, Wolf, where are you going?
Well, they can't sell it. They don't sell it in D.C., Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Okay, I'm sorry, Michelle, but that really doesn't help us right now.
Let's try.
Unless you have some sort of magical transporting technology that can just magically transport Everclear into the state, I don't think that having Everclear in Chicago is going to help us. Anyway, in all seriousness, the topic of this panel is varying degrees of insecurity. Are we really fooling ourselves when we say network security or not? And to introduce the distinguished guest that we have on this panel right now, we have... Simon the Dumbfuck I was telling you about earlier. Sodium.
Sodium from Mobsters.
You might want to speak into the mic.
Oh, yeah. Sodium from Mobsters.
Going down the list?
Say my name.
No, you say your name.
It might help if you weren't 6 feet away from the microphone.
Top Hat.
Y'all know me.
Oh, yeah, now you're playing it hardcore gangster style. Y'all think you're from D.C., murder capital of the world and shit?
Come visit sometime, buddy. Rick Forno, keynote speaker. If you missed me, oh well. Great session. If not, hi.
By the way, I'm extraordinarily drunk and honest. Josh, would you shut up? Really great speech. I think that was one of the best speeches in like Rubicon history. I think we owe him a real big round of applause for that wonderful keynote speech. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are the man.
Oh, I try.
And then we've got mobsters.net representing the house. Introduce yourself.
That's exactly what you needed.
Introduce yourself. Speak into the microphone. Shit. Say who you are.
Oh, yeah. They call me Tradester.
Okay, Tradester. Mobsters.net.
Yeah. Simon Ninex.
The people who sing... Yeah, we all know who you are, you dumb fuck. The people who single-handedly dissed Rubicon the most in their T-files. Mobsters.net. They're back here. Thanks to the wonderful social engineering skills of Rigel Five, who's a dumb fuck in and of his own self. But anyway.
Hey, we dissed Freaknik, too.
Yeah.
So.
Huh? We own it.
What do you mean you owned Freaknik? You fucking cut off the power to Freaknik.
And took over communications.
Yeah, we took over all communications there.
And we owned the
Yeah, whatever.
We planted here too.
It's the dirty South. The only communications they have are like tin cans and shit like that.
We cut those wires.
Yeah, they cut the tin can wires. And we've got Forn over here thinking that you can't get DSL in like the entire state of Michigan, which has been proven untrue. Do you know what the install date is on the DSL for Rubicon?
9 months from yesterday.
Actually, it's April 15th. The DSL that you are all using in the network right now was supposed to be installed on April 15th, but thanks to the mad elite hacksawing skills of... Who the fuck hooked up to the DSL?
Speakeasy.
BSC and fucking Aaron trying to give himself props over there.
Brian Delisle.
What? No, I didn't even talk to him. Yeah, whatever.
It was Brian Delisle on BSD.
Okay, you see, ISD, that they have their only support is ISDN right now. And for any of you that were at Rubicon 2, ISDN failed so hard at that con. I think 10, 15 minutes is being generous. Like you would hit www.yahoo.com, like go up, have dinner across the street, complete 5-course meal, come back, and maybe then the first image would have loaded. But anyway, I digress. The topic of this panel is varying degrees of security or insecurity.
Are these on Microsoft networks?
You really have a hard-on for Microsoft, don't you?
Only tonight.
Yeah. Honestly, working for VeriSign really bittered you, didn't it?
No comment.
Exactly. He's not even 30 years old, and he's extraordinarily bitter with the world of network security. Anyhow, let's get this panel rolling. The first question that I'd like to post to the panelists, well, obviously involves the topic of this conference. When we say network security, are we talking about absolute security, or are we talking about varying degrees of insecurity? Is there any system that is absolutely secure from hackers?
OpenBSD.
Red Hat.
Did you just say Red Hat?
No, I said OpenBSD, the red version.
Is that the panel where you get, like, Doug Song really drunk?
What?
Anyway, continuing. For a little bit of intelligence, I'd like to go over to Rick Forno, skipping over the rest of the crew. No, when
Let's
we're
see
talking,
how this is going to go for the rest of the night. Okay.
Exactly. I haven't even started my game show yet, all right?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, well, outside of the Mac Classic environment, which pretty much is unhackable, basically the probably only secure system is one that's turned off and buried in the ground somewhere. I mean, as I said earlier, there's no such thing as total security. I mean, you can, you know, do things to keep people honest and try to keep people out, but, you know, security is just a process, and, you know, there will be those that can circumvent it and those that can't.
Exactly. There's nothing stopping us from hijacking rootfest.com. Oh, did I say that?
That happens at 5 o'clock this morning.
Let's go on to TradeSir from mobsters.net.
Nothing can ever be secure ever.
Like, he's sober, by the way. He's sober.
Yeah.
The only sober person on this panel.
No, actually, I was drinking his vodka stuff.
Oh, cool. Okay, could you stop talking about the alcohol and get back to the topic at hand?
Isn't that the topic at hand?
No, the topic at hand is supposed to be varying degrees of insecurity and network security, not how much NFF is drunk tonight.
He's faking it.
Trade, sir, continue, please.
Well, our good friend here was saying no operating system could ever be secure. As Mike Hartman, NSA, said, basically, yeah, you can take where he stole the quote from. You can take it, bury it in a cement. I know where you got that quote. I've read his summaries. You can bury it, put it in cement, and yet it's still not secure because someone will want to get to that laptop or box you buried.
Even if all they have is AIM installed?
I don't know, okay?
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
Reverend George.
Grab your cell phone.
Yeah, Sodium, you're off. George, you're off.
George needs to join the panel. I'll fire him.
Oh, come on, let me on, sir.
Aaron, you're one of the most egotistical motherfuckers I know. Just shut up and stay in the audience. I'm fired? Excuse me, did Icon open offices in San Francisco all of a sudden?
No, George is fired. I can't fire George, though.
I mean, it's temporary. Okay, this panel is getting way out of hand. I'm sorry. You're going to have to calm down there. George, do you have an opinion to render on this one?
Ask the question again. I was busy not drinking.
When we're talking for the sixth time tonight, when we're talking, would you shut up, Michelle? Thank you. When we're talking about network security, are we talking about honest-to-goodness security in our computer networks, or are we merely talking about varying degrees of insecurity?
No such thing as absolute security. Take a look at what the data you've got is worth. Look at how much and make sure that it's going to cost someone more money to get past your defenses than it is to actually create the data on their own. If you've got research that's worth $100,000, make sure you're paying your people well enough so that they can't be bribed for $50,000.
Actually, Richard brought up a very good point. I'm sorry, Rick. I didn't mean to call you Richard.
That's all right. That is my official name.
Exactly. By the way, I'm a wannabe paisan, just so I mention that. I'm Hispanic, so all Hispanics are basically wannabe paisans.
Latino.
Anyway, Latino, sí. Por supuesto. Y, oye, entonces, toda la gente aquí sabes que cuando estoy emborrachado, hablan español.
No, NFF, I won't have sex with you.
There you go. Just because I've been celibate for 4 years doesn't mean that I can't root your hotel room and come fuck your ass tonight. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Evil.
Nate, would you shut up?
Evil.
No. To pose the... Simon, shut up. No, but to repose the question that Forno posed in his keynote speech tonight. You know, we say there's no such thing as absolute security and that we could basically pay anybody... Well, not anybody, but pay the... pay skilled, experienced hackers to you know, get into our systems. What ex- well, what was the, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
What was the question?
You see, anytime you get one of the core group members drunk, it's always comedy gold. But,
are we still
I mean,
recording?
In all seriousness, George, even though there's no such thing as absolute security in networks and things like that, Josh, would you shut up? Wait, aren't you supposed to be on this side? What? Okay, anyway. George, to pose the question to you, even though there's no such thing as absolute security, what impetus do people have to penetrate networks, to get in, to steal that information? What is the inherent value of the information that people are getting after? Why do people seek that kind of information, and why are our networks not absolutely secure?
Well, the what they're going for is whatever their motivation is up to them. I mean, you've obviously got your script kiddies who are just trying to make a name for yourself, but then there's corporate espionage. You've got the people who are trying to figure out who you are. You've got the motive is just speculation. I couldn't really.
Okay, now that you're tongue-tied, we're going to move on to Tracer.
I have to say, it actually would be the feeling of power. I mean, kids basically do it. When you look at the younger ones, they basically want to show that they are someone. They're smarter than them, therefore they take what they have and they apply it to something to show they are smarter than that. And, basically, that's all I really have to say about it, because that's what I think right now. So.
All right, now for a dose of wisdom, we go back to Mr. Forno, the preeminent
keynote
speaker.
Why do I feel so old all of a sudden?
You're under 30. You're still one of us.
What's up, Grandpa?
Simon, you are so dead. I'm going to kick your ass after this.
I didn't say it.
It wasn't Simon.
Simon, you're off the panel.
No, I didn't say it.
Mr. Forno.
Ma'am.
Mr. Forno.
Sir.
Sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't make me whip it out in front of all these wonderful, innocent people here.
Why, we'll laugh.
Continue.
Comedy gold, ladies and gentlemen.
I really set myself up for that one, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. That's basically the question, why do hackers hack? Basically, you know, you want to do it for, you know, personal motivations, whatever reasons you want. You know, the power to say you've done it, to get it someplace special. I mean, we've all been, you know, we've hacked places just to say we've been there. You know, it's kind of neat. It's kind of a little rush, but, you know, big deal. You know, the problem is when you have someone who's doing it for a reason, like, you know, as I sort of alluded to, you know, a state or someone is doing it for a purpose, you know, to steal secrets and sell it or something like that. That's more of a problem.
Continuing on.
I would just reiterate what what the previous three people have said. You all just said the same thing. You all just said hackers hackers hack for their own reasons, whether it be corporate espionage, you know, to make a name for himself for whatever reasons.
Well, if I can interject for a second, are the people who penetrate corporate networks for corporate espionage reasons really hackers? I mean,
yes.
This goes into the whole hacker-cracker distinction. Rick, did you have something to say about that?
Well, I figured we had to spice it up a little bit, so I had to jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Hacker, in the truest sense, are people, folks who enjoy, you know, pushing the outer envelope and, you know, learning about all they can about a particular topic, be it computers, automobiles, or whatever. You know, I don't think the hacker mentality is limited to just, you know, technology. But you hack into a computer for corporate espionage purposes. You're not doing it because you love doing it. You're doing it because you're getting paid for it, probably. You're doing it because you're part of some other organization. You hack those who quote unquote hack for fun. That's, you know, you're doing it for, you know, for kicks and because it's kind of like your hobby. When you start doing it for mercenary purposes, for money, then it's moved from being a hobby to being a profession. And that's where I think the distinction kind of goes between hacking and being a hacker and being a corporate espionage, being a spy.
Okay, now I'd like to stay on you for just a quick second. Just to draw the complete middle paradigm between the two paradigms that you distinguished. Me, as an organizer of Rubicon, someone who's been here since Rubicon 1, you know, as a volunteer at Rubicon 1, I was core group on Rubicon 2 and Rubicon 3, say that I decided to hijack rootfest.org, which is the only other Midwest con which is actually not having a conference this year.
And guess who found that out?
And Simon, would you shut up for a second? I'm trying to speak here.
Yes, it was me.
Say that I submitted a false DNS switch to network solutions.
I knew this was going to come sometime during the conference.
Exactly. You know this. Like, you knew that you had to get me extremely drunk to talk about this. Say that I fax something network solutions that says that, yes, the DNS routers for the DNS servers for Rootfest are actually belonging to Rubicon.org. And I do that, and I hack, and I actually manage to redirect traffic for 2 weeks from Rootfest.org to Rubicon.org.
Which will
is that
done.
Hacking, or is that corporate espionage in the other paradigm that you suggested here? Which one is that? Because honestly, at heart, I'm not out to destroy other people. But you could argue that I'm out to destroy Rootfest because Rubicon is the one true Midwest HackerCon.
Hell yeah!
Wait, no. Hold on. Let Rick speak, and then we'll entertain questions.
ICON doesn't count.
I know.
It doesn't count.
I wouldn't call it hacking. I wouldn't call it corporate espionage. I'd call it pranking. Put that in your pipe and
that
smoke
is the
it.
Biggest cop-out I've ever heard on a panel.
I'd say that pretty well falls into the corporate espionage. I mean, you have something to gain. You have... You want attendance at the con for whatever reason, be it personal or financial.
Yeah, but what about Hackers for Britney?
Hackers for
they
Britney?
What do they have to gain by rooting the most insecure sites on the internet? Just saying, like, hacking for Britney. Like, I hacked this site for Britney Spears, someone who I'll never meet. Someone whose beauty I've... Everybody in the audience, just shut up for a second and let George speak for a second. Like, hacking for Britney. Are they honestly hackers trying to point out the various vulnerabilities in corporate networks? Or are they hacking for some larger purpose, some larger domain?
Cough, cough, script kiddies, cough, cough.
it's for shits and giggles, basically.
I don't know the guys. I can't say that they don't do anything original. But they're defacing web pages. And I'm all for getting in Britney Spears' pants. Don't get me wrong. But if web page vandalism is the way to do it, then I think that they're doing it for the greater good and not for the money.
All right, no, hold on a second. Not for the money. Like, I have no money to gain from Brutefest's demise.
They're doing it for the panties.
Exactly. Like, shut up. to go back to Mr. Forno, honestly, like, groups like Hacking for Britney, you know, which was basically just a big ripoff of Hacking for Beer.
Which was a ripoff of HFG.
Okay, is somebody going to take me to point on that one? No, they were a ripoff of Hacking for Beer. They used the same fucking graphics. Like, they had no Photoshop skills of their own. But anyway, honestly, groups like Hacking for Britney, are they hackers? Are they crackers? Or are they simply a nuisance? Do they fall somewhere in the netherworld in between?
They're a nuisance. I would call them a nuisance.
Why would you call them a nuisance?
Well, let's see. They're not doing it for profit. Mm-hmm. They know they're probably not going to get into her pants. Therefore, what are they doing it for? Just, we can do it. What the heck?
So a third category.
Okay, hold on. Let's see the dumbass side of the panel here.
Okay.
Well, let's get their
opinion.
15
minutes of fame. What they're doing is tarnishing the name of hackers or crackers or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Wait, how the hell can you tarnish the name of crackers?
Whatever the hell you want to call it. You're talking about
like, I mean, honestly, like it's white people. Like, white people are salty.
Oh, come on.
Tarnish the name any more than that.
Okay, if you think about it like this, would you rather have hacking for girlies or hacking for beer?
Nah, man.
Like, penetrate your corporate site? Or would you have some, like, really elite hacker go in, take over your database, and take over all the credit card numbers? I mean, if I ran a corporate site... Okay. If I ran a corporate site, okay, and I had all this information on there...
For the internet viewers, NFF has just thrown Simon's cell phone to the back of the room.
Yeah, and I've also spilled half my drink all over this goddamn podium. But anyway, go on.
Okay, if I had this really big corporate site, and then Hackers for Girlies or Hackers for Britney or whatever took it over, at least all they're going to do is change the HTML. I mean, they're not
necessarily.
They're not lead enough to like take over, you know, the whole intranet. Of the business you're running.
You can't gauge a group by their name, you know.
Yeah, but have you seen some of the stuff they posted?
I don't know, though, but if you're, you know, hacking for Britney, you can be considered a cyber terrorist by the U.S. government.
Wait, no. Now, I'd like you to expand on that point. Why is hacking for Britney considered cyber terrorism, like InfoWar by the U.S. government?
Hacking for anything is considered a cyber terrorist act, according to the mass media and several government folks. I mean, whether you're hacking a web page that's for Britney or hacking, you know, the DOJ webpage of the White House. It's still trespassing a network intrusion.
Michelle, would you just hold on a second? I'll get to you in a second.
I think that the U.S. government should differentiate between the women being hacked for. Janet Reno and Britney Spears are obviously at two different ends of the spectrum.
Okay, George, but no, honestly, like... No, but to go to the whole concept of Infor, I mean, like, honestly, the whole concept of Infor has been considered a revolution in military affairs. Like,
some would say that, yeah.
Exactly. Like, no, but honestly, like, all of the preeminent scholars in military affairs would say that Infowar is an RMA that has not seen a precedent since the RMA, since gunpowder. Like, why are hacking for girlies or hacking for Britney or any of those other fucking lame groups that are
Janet
on attrition.org?
Reno.
Would you fucking stop saying Janet Reno? Why are any of those groups... No, honestly, Mr. Forno, why are any of those groups considered cyber terrorists? Why are the evolution of groups that we see on attrition.org every single day considered on par as a development in the revolution of military affairs with something like gunpowder?
It's basically the media's perception and the fact that, you know, someone, a third party, is unauthorized, is... compromising a site, gaining access to a site that he or she does not have legitimate access to, therefore that is a threat, and therefore that is a problem, and then the idea snowballs into the idea of, you know, cyber terrorism. Well, if they can do it to janetreno.gov, why can't they do it to Amazon or eBay.com, and therefore cause millions of dollars of damage?
Yeah, but Amazon.com and eBay are commercial sites. Why are commercial sites considered an integral part of InfoWar? That people like... No. Hold on. Why are they considered InfoWar? When people like... who wrote In Athena's Camp?
Arquilla.
Why do people like Arquilla consider people who root commercial sites part of the ongoing InfoWar syndrome?
All right. The 30-second answer is basically that if you look at the way World War II was waged, you know, we used aircraft in a new way. Aircraft was a revolution in military affairs, or an evolution. It was the next great thing we could use to attack the enemy. And we used it to both attack the enemy in the front lines as well as fly deep into, you know, German airspace and bomb their factories, bomb their water plants, and really wreak havoc behind the lines. Information warfare is considered, at least I consider it more of an evolution, like the airplane was. It's the next tool, if you will, or technique. Attacking somebody.
But honestly, in the context of InfoWar, what is a more important development? The development of more sophisticated deliveries of gunpowder or an entirely new scene, an entirely new way of waging war?
Information warfare, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm probably the minority on this, so take it for what you will, I consider information warfare to be using various tools and techniques, using technology, network attack or deception, in support of other military or intelligence operations to achieve whatever the goal is set out. You don't just wage information warfare in and of itself and go out and attack somebody.
But honestly, how can we consider groups like Hacking for Girlies and Hacking for Britney on par insofar as a revolution in military affairs with people like, you know, the exportation of gunpowder from China into the European continent? How can we consider that on par with that? It's not even close to the same kind of development. I'll let Rick Forno answer this question, and then I'll entertain questions from the audience.
I would basically consider, you know, using technology in warfare is basically, you know, using computers and information warfare. Technology has been in warfare for thousands of years. It's just now much more easier and available to everybody to use. Where hacking for Britney and hacking for Janet Reno are the same is that the techniques used are the same. You scope out a website and you compromise a website the same way, no matter what your ultimate goal is. The idea is what you do with it, what your intent is once you've gotten in.
Right, but intent is an important aspect of InfoWar. The intent of hacking for girlies, honestly, from what I can see, is nothing more than vandalism, as my roommate Andrew Hobgood pointed out. It's not to gain a military strategic advantage over anyone. And I mean, I hope you don't mind, but I'll entertain questions for the audience.
No,
the first hand that I saw up was evil. Just do one, because I'm really drunk and I can't sort out all the fucking like other points. What the fuck was that? Okay, everybody, shut up and let Evil talk.
All right. Now the big thing when you're talking about information warfare. analogy for where the internet has taken us now is back when the only comparable shift in power, before people used to follow the church, they knew how to read, they could print the Bible. Now we have a better distribution of information and a better way.
Can I clarify that? What do you mean by better distribution of information? Do you mean by that when you say that a better distribution of the comprehension of information or a better distribution of like things like literacy?
Literacy has, well, in at least the Western world, and, you know, a lot of, except for, you know...
Nate, would you shut up for a second? Let people talk.
...that aren't literate. We'll put them by the sideline for now. The focus of power is on information and being able to communicate to other people. The power, I can, like, bomb the bejesus out of whatever country and make it a parking lot. But if I can get into the minds of the people of that country, that's where the power is. Mm-hmm. It isn't in what land you control or what technology you have. It's what the people want to follow. And if they can do exploit, no, regardless of how lame, on something that is like mass media, then they are being able to subvert what the Illuminati, if you want to call them, are putting out, the, you know, what you're saying about
propaganda.
The big media and everything controls what we see and hear. If someone else can take control of that, that's what they're worried about. It's not so much, oh, our infrastructure, they're going to take down our banking system. It's the minds of all the U.S. people here.
That's one of the problems that you see in, you know, in Washington, at least I see in Washington, is that the focus is on, you know, keyboards, mice, and modems. Information warfare is keyboards, mice, modems, hackers, crackers, and whatever. And it goes far beyond that. I mean, if you look at the broader spectrum, you look at, like, the hearts and minds. And that's exactly, you're dead on 100%. I mean, the focus has been on technology, but, you know, there are, in this room, what, 40 people? There are 40 very sophisticated computers in this room that are the hardest in the world to defend against, but some of the easiest ones to crack into. And that's the human brain. So, yeah, the hearts and minds, it's, you know, you're exactly right.
Okay, the next hand I saw was Dosaurus, followed by Brian, and then the distinguished gentleman from Ohio. Andrew, I'm not going to get to you tonight.
as I see it, not actually asking the right question. It's not, why is this person a terrorist and that one not? A terrorist is somebody who inspires fear. And if they're afraid of me, then I'm a terrorist. If I'm an assassin, I'm doing the same thing that some Saudi Iraqi terrorist is doing.
Oh, just to interject, the Saudis are our friends.
Yes, I some of them are. The Bedouins don't like this very much. But if I'm really good at my job, you don't even know I exist, and you therefore are not afraid of me. And I may do infinitely more damage than some little moron who's going to paint a mustache on somebody.
Yeah, just to respond to those comments, I really fear hacking for girlies. All right, I really fear they're going to get my credit card numbers.
I do too.
You do too?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, hold on. I think Mr. Fornoy has a response to that.
I was just saying, no, I agree with you. I'm scared of them too.
You're kidding.
Big time. I mean...
Wait, are you big time kidding, or do you seriously fear hacking for girlies? Do you think they're going to get your credit card information?
Well, my credit card's been lost once before, and, I mean, I lose sleep over hacking for girlies. And hacking for Brittany, that's just like a nightmare come to life. I don't know how I can sleep at night.
I support it.
Wait, you support hacking for Brittany, or you support people who are involved in the group hacking for Brittany, stealing things like credit card numbers?
I just want to see how drunk you are.
Exactly.
I just want to see how drunk you were.
Oh, trust me, I have a social science background, okay? I can bullshit on and on and on about Weberian politics, no matter how drunk I am. Andrew, would you shut the fuck up? Thank you very much.
I support 313. We've noticed your bullshitting skills, Nick.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Evil had a question.
We support Route 60. Because that's the combined project next to Monsters and 313.
Being hacked by a bunch of drunk people.
That's irrelevant. I'm going on to Mule here.
I think the true question, why the government, you know, look at it from the perspective, why they fear these script kiddies, these young kids, is because they're sharpening their teeth on basically lambs, corporations, which aren't going to spend a lot of money to come after them.
Wait, did you just say that corporations are going to spend a lot of money going after groups like Hacking for Britney?
They go and on. Somebody with zero talent gets away with crap for a long time. Some of these guys are getting through, and they're becoming good hackers. That's why they fear the script keys. That's why they fear Britney crap and all that crap. It's because they know that one in 10 of them is going to get through and become somebody special.
I don't think that's it.
Hold on. Would you like to expand on that point?
I'm just saying, I don't think the government nor the corporations fear these groups. It's just that us as a computer world, as a computer group, as a computer underground, we know ourselves that these groups, from at least our perception of them, from what we perceive from their online defacements, we see that they, or at least we believe that they aren't very skilled from what we perceive of them.
Just to interject, the people who aren't very skilled are the people who do those fucking sentence IIS exploits, all right? Those are the people who aren't very skilled.
Okay, yeah, fine, whatever.
But continue.
So let's say that everyone here and everyone at the con, as a computer user, as a person in the computer underground, knows that these people are not skilled. But that's only, you know, in our group. The media itself takes these hackers and they portray, like, pretty much if you attach the word hacker to anything, you know, that is immediately labeled as a terrorist.
Wait, no.
Hold on a second.
Why do you think that the term hacker is immediately identified in common culture as...
No, honestly.
Okay. Why do you think that the word hacker is honestly identified in popular culture as the word terrorist? Would you shut up, Evil?
Okay, well, I'm saying that myself and hopefully most of the people in this room do not associate the term hacker with terrorists, but I'm saying that the media has turned the word hacker into a synonym for terrorist.
Brian?
Because of the...
I feel my question to Brian.
Who died and made you moderate?
I'd like to respond.
Fuck you,
Brian.
Hold on a second. I think we have a question from the distinguished gentleman from Ohio. All
right. Can you talk about people like hacking for Britney or hacking for girlies being on the same par as like gunpowder sales?
I'm not talking about gunpowder sales. I'm talking about the transition of gunpowder technology from China to the European continent. Because honestly, the Chinese were using gunpowder for fireworks. First of all, can everybody in the room hear him?
Can everybody hear me? All right.
Okay, go on.
We talk about, like, shut up. Like, when people sit there and they look and they see, like, these crappy, you know, slick.
Shut up.
Like, people hacking these very stupid sites with, like, really cheesy exploits. Now, the government has, like, you know, like, machines up with these same services running. So they see somebody hack, like, these machines for hacking for Britney or for, like, anything else using these crappy exploits, there's not much really stopping them from taking over these government machines and causing damage, and that's where the real fear lies, is what can these people really do with, like, I mean, that's, they don't really understand what, like what they're doing. It's nothing more than, like, going to, like, what is it, like,
hack.co.za.
Brian?
You know, if you want to sell a program, look it up an exploit and take it over a box. I mean, you can nmap, like, a military site or military computer as easily as you can.
Hold on, let him finish.
Like, as easily as you can look up any, like, you know, like JanetReno.gov, you take over their sites that control, like, major things. And there's nothing that's really stopping these crappy little script kids from doing all that major damage.
Yeah, they're...
Okay, so look at this.
Hold on.
It's like hacking for Britney. Because they fear what these kids could actually do. So, like, these, like, major, you know, like, major things, like, for the government.
Okay, I'd like to direct one point quickly, Mr. Frono. Honestly, when groups like Hacking for Britney's... Okay, come on. When all you guys can get is Leader Forno, I'll fucking defer to you in every question. But anyway, when groups like Hacking for Britney or Hacking for Girlies decide deface a .gov website as opposed to a .com website, what is the essential difference in, you know, our considerations of InfoWar in terms of those things? Like, let him finish.
Well... A lot of the government sites basically say, hi, welcome to the Department of such and such, agency such and such. This is who's in charge. This is where we're located. This is what we have to offer. Here's some press releases from 2 years ago. Very few government websites actually have really useful information for Joe and Jane public.
The Michigan Sex Offender Registry does.
Okay.
Are you on?
Okay, hold on a second. I have to defer to my fellow core group member, Brian DeLean.
Brian DeLine.
Oh, come on. Like, anybody in this room doesn't know I'm fucking drunk off my ass at this point.
The problem is,
some merit there. The problem is that your mom, my mom, his grandmother, you know, his Uncle Bob don't know jack shit about computers.
Can you please keep your mom out of this?
Yeah. Don't know jack shit about hackers for girlies. What they know is that somebody that gives the perception of relative amateurs are going out there and defacing sites. What that does is that causes fear in the population, a large population, not a small group of experienced computer users.
They think it's lame, yeah.
People who are fearful in the nation. Terrorists don't blow up, you know, daycare centers because they're worried about destroying critical infrastructure. They do it to make an impact. And what happens is that these attackers are attacking these websites that are, you know, I mean, we don't care. Right? They're stupid sites. But what they're doing is they're putting in the mind of the American people that
fearless.
They can do it. And it scares them.
Okay.
That's what the whole purpose is, and that's why they're terrorists as opposed to, and I don't agree with this necessarily, but that's how the perception is that it's a terrorist. They're able to do things that affect the psyche of the culture, and that's exactly what it takes to be a terrorist.
Okay, now hold on 1 second. Carlos, would you please stop taping me? Thank you. I just wanted to point out that Brian has pointed out one of the key precepts of InfoWar. That InfoWar is not target... No, hold on,
yeah,
everybody.
Fuck that.
InfoWar is not targeted at conventional military targets. InfoWar is... Would you all shut up? InfoWar is targeted at the general population. InfoWar is inherently targeted towards civilian populations. It's inherently targeted towards striking fear in civilian populations. That's one of the whole key steps of InfoWar.
You need to understand that the reason that they're striking out towards general populations is to focus policy, which is the moves on the upper levels. So by affecting the large mass of people that have a general idea and general fear, they hope to change policy amongst the people that actually make decisions. They're not going to attack those people directly. They don't have the resources to do that necessarily. But that's how you make underhanded moves. It's a longer-term situation.
Exactly. I have to defer to my roommate or he's going to rape me in my sleep, despite the fact that he has a fiancé in Rhode Island or somewhere.
That's
Andrew.
A sandpaper-covered dildo.
Okay. Is that why my ass hurts so much in the morning? But continue, please.
First off, your concepts of InfoWar are very limited, and you're referring primarily to countries that are like our own, where the general populace is using the network more than anybody else. When you look at the applications of InfoWar in the actual military context, does the average Iraqi citizen really care if the X-25 network has been owned by the United States?
No. I think Mr. Forno has a response to that.
Go on.
Go ahead, Grandpa.
By and large, they don't understand it.
Now, this is the thing that I hate. Andrew taking my own points against me, but Mr. Forno has a response to that, I believe.
I have one.
Hold on. Let him respond.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the average – I mean, you don't wage info war against somebody or a country. I mean, again, in the truest sense, information warfare is basically using technology, and it's one, you know, little tool in your arsenal to go against another target, be it a country, be it an organization. What people lose sight of is that – information warfare is currently, you know, planned for by the U.S. government, U.S. military. I mean, they've got it ass backwards. And by that I'm saying is that a bulk of the money, which is not that much money involved, but like 80% of the money that they spend on information warfare is spent on exploiting the bad guys and going against somebody else, offensive IW. When in reality, what other country is as dependent on information technology and resources as we are, and as such are the most vulnerable, and as such needs the most in information warfare defense.
Okay, well hold on. Before Andrew responds, I'd like to say that don't you think that all of the G7 nations, which hold the vast majority of the capital in the world, honestly are the most vulnerable to these kinds of attacks? Oh, I mean, I'd like to let Andrew respond to that quickly.
My other point, though, had to do with the concept about cyber terrorism. Okay. Now, everybody's going around saying, "Oh, well, the uneducated public, you know, here's the Hacking for Girlies broken from the McAfee.com, and everybody's scared, right?" Realistically, though, when some pair of Russian kids gets into a credit card database, gets 1,000 credit cards, and I can't remember if I bought a CD off of that site.
Oh, yeah, some Russian site is going to come across on your credit card statement. You're not going to question
Russian
that.
Kids, not
selling Trump. This information to Russian mafia, okay? The links are plain, okay? I see that. I'm educated in this. That doesn't change the fact that I'm scared shitless when I'm realizing that my personal information, my card numbers and everything, could very well have been fetched by somebody who's just notch above. These people have the same skill levels as people hacking for girlies. They have slightly different intent.
You know that. Okay, well, first of all, I know for a fact, since I'm your roommate, you don't even have a fucking credit card. So anyway, I'd like to defer back to the panel.
Okay, what I'd like to say is, look back 2 years ago. Okay, a lame-ass group called Legions of the Underground hacked all these lame-ass sites. Okay? When they got really huge in the hacker subculture or the media or whatever, threatened to go take down China. The media flipped out, and all this stuff happened. Basically, like you said, all these media whores or whatever go out, they proclaim that they hacked this site or that site, and when they actually threaten to do something huge, the media gets really scared about it.
Okay, I'd like to defer to Nate since he's had his hand up the longest.
You can't keep deferring.
Fuck you, I'm the moderator.
Okay.
You set the throw at him.
Nate, please.
I just want to
go back to earlier when we were talking about why the perception of all this is so bad, about the media misrepresenting and so on.
I want
to say that a lot of this is actually on the people who maintain the sites that get hacked. It's in their best interest. They have a vested interest in misrepresenting script kiddies because, you know, if McAfee.com gets hacked for some reason and their guy who runs the web server says, oops, I forgot to install the latest patch, I'm stupid. That's not going to look very good for him. But if he plays it up to his boss and says, oh my God, these guys have skills, they came in here,
exactly,
we have more
yeah.
budget, we got to defend better.
If his salary goes up.
Exactly. His salary goes up, his budget goes up, he buys himself his laptop. He has more fun if he plays this hack up.
Hold
on, George, go ahead.
I don't think that the people... obviously, the admins are going to benefit from playing up the script kiddies as the biggest and smartest and brightest, but I think that the real root of the fear of script kiddies comes from the media, comes from the fact that people don't understand what a script kiddie is, don't understand
exactly.
that they're going to securityfocus.com, downloading an exploit, testing the scanner across a cable modem network, finding this website and using their exploit. We all know that it's simple stuff. Think of David Copperfield. If the media presented him as someone who could make the Statue of Liberty disappear, I'd be scared shitless if someone could make the Statue of Liberty really disappear. We all know what's going on behind the scenes. The media treats it just like magic. They think that these people, if they can use a simple exploit, can suddenly control any computer on the planet.
Wait, but hold on. There's an essential difference between David Copperfield and the concept of Infowar. David Copperfield is essentially at heart an entertainer. He makes the Statue of Liberty disappear for entertainment purposes. Hold on, everybody.
That's presentation.
David Copperfield makes the Statue of Liberty disappear for entertainment purposes. Everybody who's watching David Copperfield make the Statue of Liberty disappear knows that it's entertainment value, knows that David Copperfield is not actually making the Statue of Liberty disappear into the netherworld.
Would you be entertained if rootfest.org got redirected to rubicon.org?
That will happen tonight. I fucking performed that hack, all right? So you fucking, like, shut up. Anyway, Aaron...
Did we get that?
I have committed to a felony here, okay? If any of you want to take me to fucking jail, go ahead. Aaron.
I'll be arresting you later, but...
We'll throw you in the drunk
fuck
tank.
Up. You're not a fucking fed. You work for Icon.
Not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah, whatever, George. You're a fucking bitch. Anyway, Aaron. Evil, would you shut up and let Aaron speak?
Yeah, it's not the company that you think it is. Anyways, I was going to say, it was going to go back to our previous point. It's not the network events that have a lot to gain. Well, network events do have a bit to gain.
Why is he standing up?
But there's a critical element in the government playing up the role of script kiddies, especially the FBI, because these are the people, A, they can catch, and they can use to further their careers. I caught Mafia Boy. He only left a trail that I could see from 200 miles away, but I'm a great agent. What does my floppy drive use for, by the way? I've worked with these people. They really don't know. But they just have this huge hard-on for script kiddies. Ooh, we can catch script kiddies and nail them to the wall, and this will be the best thing for our career ever.
All right,
exactly.
Trades, sir, and then Mr. Forno.
If they can generate a press release saying they got somebody, okay, we got somebody, you know, whoever, you know, NFF, you know, major web vandal, we got him. Press release, boom. He's got, you know, 3 years probation. We got somebody, boom. It's a headline. They can then justify their budget for the next budget year. So you're 100% right. I mean, who do you see put on trial and reported by the FBI? Mostly it's web vandals and, you know, kiddies. But what about the real guys, the ones that we don't hear about, the ones that, as a security administrator, I'm scared because I don't know if, you know, they're on my network or not. Those are the guys that I want to know about, but they won't, you know, you don't hear about them.
All right, I'd like to defer to Tracer, then George, and then fucking Matrix, who's too cowardly to say his fucking speech in front of the microphone. Tracer, go ahead.
No opinion right now.
I got his opinion for you.
Confused?
I'm confused.
Okay, would you give Tracer the goddamn microphone?
No idea.
Okay, I got his opinion here. I got a really good one.
Tracer's a pussy.
Okay, no, hold on a second. Let Tracer speak. He hasn't spoken for a long time.
I'm serious. I'm not going to give my opinion on this matter because I'm confused about certain subjects matters. And if I give my opinion, I'm going to look like a dumbass, so I'm not going to look like a dumbass.
Yeah, because you're still in fucking high school.
Actually, Tracer is in college.
Okay, even
Jesus
though
Christ, you're getting it. Tracer, go ahead.
No, he just said he didn't want to speak.
Okay, look.
Simon, did anyone ask you to talk? Tracer, go ahead.
No, I got this good.
Trades, okay. I'm the fucking moderator. Tracer, would you please speak?
I deferred.
He defers to George. George, go ahead.
I think that the police are in over their head with computer crime. I think that they're going to go after who they can go after, which isn't going to be the people that no one knows about, the people who come in like the wind and leave like a footprint. I don't know. The ninjas that no one ever sees. They're going to go after the script kiddies, the easy kill, the someone who's going to get them a good press release. They're going to be a cyber cop, and Fox 2 News' problem solvers will tout them as the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, but right. Okay, even though NFF... Yeah. If he got caught, okay, we know he's a script kiddie, all right? Basically, the
all right,
media
you're off my panel.
Him.
You can just shut up now.
The media will portray him as this elite ninja that dude over there is talking about.
I sincerely hope you're talking in theoretical terms here.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good.
I'm just
God.
Joking around, you know.
Thank God. Or
the media have a vested interest in portraying him that way.
Exactly, because they make more news headlines off of catching this huge Kevin Mitnick worth hacker. Exactly.
Okay, okay.
Over-dramatization.
Okay, Mr. Leather Trenchcoat, you've had your hand up for a long time.
Okay, I mean, I think what's sort of being around the bush is like the fact that it takes them half a year to catch somebody who downloaded, you know, and everybody knows exploits.
Aaron, could you shut up and let him talk?
There are real systems that control real like important things like power plants and real shit that affects me, okay. Not just Janet Reno's website. That's ass, whatever. I mean, there's people. If it takes them that long to catch somebody who has no skills at all, and there's real world things being run by computers, and there are people out there who have real skills to break into that. That's what I think I'm worried about, and that's what everybody in the government is or should be really worried about.
Exactly.
Is the fact that fucking nuclear subs are running off of Windows 2000 and shit. I mean.
Okay, that hits way too close to home. Okay, I know the guy who fucking like was responsible for that like Japanese fisher boat. Okay, that hits way too close to home.
What I'm saying, that's a nuclear sub. Who the fuck cares who defaces a website?
Okay, now when you mean nuclear sub, you have to cast the distinction between nuclear powered subs and subs that have nuclear weapons on them. There's a fundamental distinction there that you're not making.
I don't think the type of sub is the question. I think it's the fact that. There's real computers, as he said. There a lot of our lives are done on computers. Our emergency personnel services, 911 dispatch, if anyone remembers the big E911 brouhaha about 10, 15 years ago, that stems from people's fear of critical infrastructure being damaged instead of stupid websites.
Yeah, but you look at it this way. If your multi-million-dollar corporation sells most of its products online, you're going to lose so much money every day. Yeah, but look at it from their standpoint.
It's two different worlds. You have the mainstream world, and then you have the world that has a nuclear bomb, and that shit gets covered up. I mean, sure, of course, you know, you got hackers who are all inside that shit, you know, but that shit is too hardcore to be leaked, you know. No, I mean serious. Shit like that doesn't get out into the public. It gets covered up. It happens.
Who wants to know the United States government?
But website hats,
But website hacks, that shit is what the media portrays. It's what happens, and then it's what – there are two words, what happens, and then whatever it is portrayed to us.
All right, Mr. Wolf, do you have a comment to add? The question
word.
Is, why would someone be stupid enough to put a nuclear power plant, nuclear submarine on the Internet where it would be vulnerable?
Because it's stupid.
Wait a second.
Your mic is off.
Who would be stupid enough to put 10,000 credit cards online?
Fight the power.
Can Trump? Okay. Wait. Everybody, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know all those fucking like naval non-commissioned officers are fucking using AIM for like every communication like they have.
Word.
All right. Let Will finish. Let Will finish.
Or at least you think that.
Hold on. Wolf, are you finished?
There's no reason to do that. The reason that the corporations are getting hacked is because they have a reason to be on the net. That's how they do their business. The government sites, like he said, government sites are just like, this is what we are, this is who's our head.
It doesn't matter if they get hacked.
Let me ask you a question.
Wait, hold on a second. I'd like to defer to the what's your name holding the corona?
Dave.
Okay, Dave, go. You have the floor.
Let me
jump. Yeah, the government's never done anything without a reason.
Hold on a second. The distinguished gentleman from Ohio.
All right. If you're talking about, like, for fear of hackers, all right, there's three things I want to say. The government and the media and, like people in general. All right. One thing for the media, like, that makes it scary, like, for terrorism, is when people look and, like, all right, this website got hacked by, like, you know, people from Britney Spears or whatever. People look, and that vulnerability that they use, they say they post,
There's a fundamental difference between systems that are vulnerable and systems that are hacked.
I think people make the distinction between vulnerable and hacked in the media.
I think you should.
George, hold on. Let him finish.
All right. People like the general, like Joe Public for terrorism, see that as, oh my God, these guys can get like 40,000 systems worldwide. It can include my computer, you know, like my bank's computer, anybody. That's the general fear of terrorism from people that hack like little cheap, crappy things. The government, I'm not saying this government seems to host sites of the ones that are hacked, because you can get access, like, you know, get on machines that don't just host websites that actually do things, which is where the fear of script keys really lies from the government perspective. And the machines that control really important things.
I got a question for you, though.
Hold on. Let George finish. Then
they have, like, your power, like, for your home, right? I mean, those machines can be posted as having this vulnerability. I mean, that way, then people really freak out. Think of people cause, like, you know, nationwide blackouts just for some stupid little, like, I don't know, IND exploit.
I got a question for you.
Hold on. I think George had a response to that. Then I'll go to Gabe.
I think that people make too much of a distinction actually between being vulnerable and being exploited. If you've ever contacted an admin saying, you know, you really shouldn't have this PHF CGI in your on your web server, and gone back a month, 2 months later, and seen if it was still there, My response from admins is usually very slow, but if you suddenly change their index.html, they tend to respond a lot faster. The public, I think, also makes the distinction in that their acceptance of Microsoft products, the Microsoft products are consistently proven vulnerable, but people aren't actually exploited themselves, so it seems like it's just off in the distance something that hasn't affected them.
All right, Gabe, you wait, hold on. Let Gabe respond to that.
You're saying, what are they doing hooked up to the internet to begin with? Like, you made a fundamental wrong assumption is things don't have to be hooked up to the internet to be hacked. Right. You can hack other networks.
They can, these
console
or
right, well, but let Gabe finish.
Well, that was just my point, why should they be connected to the internet at all? When NFL. They don't have to.
I got a question for you, though.
Okay.
So you're a large corporation, like the government or whatever. Well, not the government.
Wait, are you saying the government is a huge corporation all of a sudden? Like, you're blurring lines here.
Or the government.
Or the government.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are you going to spend all this money for your, like, T1 line stretched out to, like, all the way in the country, like, hundreds of miles away? Okay? You're going to run, like, a VPN, if that, over the internet because it's free.
That wasn't my point.
I'm saying that that's where you look at the exploitable.
You stole my liquor.
Honestly, let Gabe finish here.
That wasn't my point. I wasn't going that way. I was attacking the other way, whereas you're saying.
But also.
Wait, no, no. Let okay. Gabe finish. Evil, you're not taking my liquor.
It wasn't that, like. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be hooked up to the net to begin with. I'm saying that they don't have to be hooked up to the net.
Would you all shut up and let Gabe finish here?
But that's also where you get the exploitable servers that are on the internet with thousands of credit cards because of lazy systems administrators and corporations, you know?
Can I interrupt you for a quick second? Who fucking took that picture of me sitting and swinging up the line? Michelle, I'm going to fucking... Okay, all those negatives belong to me. Anyway, continue.
All your negative art belong to us.
Okay, continue. Please continue, and then Mr. Forno.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though. The point is, poor security, I mean, it's basically a cost. You can hire a really elite network administrator that knows all the shit, that updates his software concurrently, like, every day. Or you could hire this lazy ass like Tredesser. He'll go in there, maybe set some stuff up, and then just leave it open. That's what
By the
we're
way,
getting
it's pronounced Tradeser.
Okay, Tradeser.
Risk mitigation.
Basically, yes.
It's you figure out what your stuff is worth to you. I mean, if a web page hack would cost you maybe, you figure $10,000 worth of business, you're not going to spend, you shouldn't spend $20,000 securing your web server.
Exactly. It's like why have a $15 power supply on a $500,000, you know, network?
Also, why have a $500,000 power supply on a $200 computer?
Exactly.
My turn.
One of the things that, you know, we've been going back and forth about, you know, computer crime and cyber terrorism and information warfare, and I think that we're kind of clouding these definitions, and, you know, we're kind of, you know, going around in circles, and we're using these terms interchangeably. There's really no clear-cut definition of what constitutes information warfare or cyber terrorism per se. I mean, that's a very gray area. I want to, you know, make a point to clarify. Well, yeah, they're buzzwords, but for purposes of the talk here, I would say that what we're talking about right here is basically computer crime, computer criminals. It may be information warfare. It may be a national security military act. It may be someone joyriding. But the idea is that, you know, it may not necessarily be, you know, cyber terrorist. It might just be, you know, a computer crime by a 15-year-old. You don't know. So I just want to put go on the record as saying, you know, don't cloud these terms together. Because, you know, there is really no clear-cut definition for what each of these terms are.
But also, couldn't it be somebody on the inside, like just a regular employee that gets dirty one day?
Sure. A disgruntled employee, I would consider that to be a computer crime, a computer criminal.
Exactly.
Like that's a very important distinction to make, that the vast majority of hacking that occurs in corporate environments are by disgruntled employees.
But you don't hear about that.
Exactly. You don't hear
CNN.
About that because disgruntled employees are not what you want to hear about.
Terrorism.
It's not terrorism. It's people... taking out revenge against the company that disgruntled them in some sort of way. And actually, since we're running really far behind right now, I'd like, unless there's someone that has a really good concluding comment, I'd like Mr. Forno to try to bring some kind of conclusion to this.
I think
take it home.
Okay, hold on. Mr. Forno will bring some kind of conclusion to this. Michelle will answer a question, and Simon will be the final. Excuse me, everybody. Hello? Excuse me. Hold on. Mr. Forno will bring some kind of conclusion to this. Rigel, would you just shut the fuck up? Mr. Forno will bring a conclusion to this.
I'll
You can call me Rick.
We'll entertain a question for Michelle, then Simon will answer, and then this will all be over, and then we'll go into NFF's t-shirts, and you'll still get to see me drunk, drinking from my fucking bottle of Bacardi Limon. Okay, Mr. Forno.
You can call me Rick.
Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't go there. This is kind of, you know, I guess it's been a free flow, you know, kind of, you know, speak your mind kind of thing. I mean, there's some good dialogue going, you know, going here. And I will say that from the several, you know, hacker and security conferences I've been at over the years, I mean, this has actually been one of the more dynamic and more educated audiences, you know, for a panel talking about this kind of stuff. As for the panel, well, there's, you know, hey, I don't know, the moderator, I mean, that's a lost cause. But I mean,
just a drunk.
But
hey, were you fucking mocking me with that?
No, he wasn't.
No, that wasn't a mock. That was a true observation.
Fuck you.
You're saying that I'm a lost cause?
Yes.
You're something.
Have you?
But I mean, basically, you know, my hat's off to you guys. I mean, it's been a good interaction here. You brought some good points that you don't normally hear about this discussion. Hope you go away with this, realizing that, you know, this is not a cut and dry black and white type of an issue. It's very, very gray. And, you know, the government has no answer, industry has no clear answer, and, you know, we don't have a clear answer. So you know, cool
so
job.
Whose responsibility is it to come up with a clear answer, just to answer that question real quickly?
There's no
one. I do. I got one.
No. Mr. Forno will answer that question real quickly, then I'll defer to Michelle, and then Simon will wrap this all up.
I'll basically say leave.
Would you let our distinguished guest speak? All right, I paid for his fucking flight. All right, let him fucking speak.
Where'd you fly in from?
D.C.
You didn't pay for fucking shit, all right? It was my credit card. Let him fucking speak. Mr. Forno.
Rick.
Rick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What was the question again?
All right, my turn.
The question was, could you please find a concise end to this so I can get onto my fucking game show and do that drunk too?
Next up, NFF's game show to get drunk. Thank you.
No, please, no.
There is no clear-cut answer. I mean, who's going to determine what's going to be a computer criminal, information warfare, cyber terrorism? It's not me. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be the government. I mean, there is going to be several different distinctions depending on how you classify what, you know, these attacks are. Is it a National Security Act? Then it might be a cyber terrorism or information warfare. Is it, you know, a 20-year-old doing, you know, joyriding around the net? Then it might be a computer crime. I mean, that's something that, you know, they're wrangling about in D.C. They've been doing it for years. There is no answer. It'll come out of the government. It'll come out of the think tanks. I don't know when, but, I mean, it's one of those gray areas that's, you know, one of the joys about being an American, you know. There's just all these different ideas.
Okay, Mr. Forno, all I have to say is that the gray areas are simply, like, who's – like, between the Democrats and the Republicans, whose head is up whose ass the biggest. And with that thought, I'd like to defer to Michelle here. And then Michelle will make the final question to the panel. Simon will respond to that, and then we'll head on to NFF's. What the fuck is my game show called? Okay. After Michelle poses her comment, Simon, then we'll proceed and win NFF's t-shirts. Michelle. Okay, would you all fucking shut up and let Michelle talk?
Good question.
Okay, no, hold on. Hold on. Simon will wrap this tragic panel conversation up, and then we'll proceed on to win my fucking t-shirts.
I'll wrap this up in one way. 616 PLA in the house.
God damn it, Simon. I knew that you
room
would fucking do that.
Room 360 is your mama.
Fuck you!
Which is why Richard Forno is going to have to conclude this entire
Johnny X is my dad.
I'm getting paid by the number of times I have to conclude or fill in for the wise old sage of reason. That's a loaded question.
So, for example, let's say...
Everybody shut up and let Forno talk.
Very simple.
And you are, you know, you buy it, you license it for the
first
time.
Yo, shut up. No. What I basically... I mean, I tell people, you know... You know, hacking is not necessarily, you know, keyboard skills. It's a state of mind. It's how you look at things, be it, you know, a car, a computer, a network, you know, whatever.
You can hack
You can hack anything. It doesn't have to be a computer. And that's a mindset you can take. Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And with that, I will stop before he shuts me up. We can talk later.
Okay, exactly. All right, this panel has concluded. I'm glad we've come to I'm glad we've come to some kind of resolution. We're going to take a 5-minute piss break. Yes, thank you. Thank you for all the panelists, all the distinguished panelists. Give them a big round of applause. Win and...